We've been studying forever. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Anybody have any thoughts since we last met? Any questions? Any opinions? Let's go to 2 Timothy.
I know there's something about saying it. It's not like a one-time event.
Oh.
It's what is our life is working out our salvation.
All right. That's what we're going to see hopefully this morning.
Yeah, because I say that only because I always thought of it, work it out, come to terms with it, and then go on. But it's working out your salvation.
No, it's a, it's a
yeah, it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to start at 2 Timothy 2. This is Paul's last letter. He knows he's about to be beheaded. He's had all of the two meetings with the tribunal, and one of the three on the tribunal was the emperor. And so he's had his first one, the death sentence. No, it's not yet the death sentence, I'm sorry. It's to see whether he's guilty or not. And then the next hearing, just like we do in modern, is the penalty hearing. So he knows he's about to die. And Timothy was his faithful apostle. We don't know much about him, but we know, well, we do, we know quite a bit about him. But anyway, this is for that. Paul is about, he knows he's about to die. He's concerned about being faithful, continuing in that faithfulness. And so,
where are we?
So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness or difficulties as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet to be found not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, he will also live with us. We will also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, again, it's death and suffering. It's not a great deal of good news. Let's go over to chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own lives, their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led astray with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. One more in Timothy, and I'm reading these in a particular order for a purpose. Go back to chapter 2. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, or a canker, or what it means is cancer, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
What do they mean by the resurrection is past already?
It's a heresy of the total church today. We are waiting for Jesus to come back and set up his kingdom on earth. Then we'll have partake of the resurrection. Now that's a huge thing. So, and again, it's one of these things. Remember, a Pharisee is one who separates. It can be separation of anything. But fundamentally, it's separating spiritual matters from earthly matters. And so you do one thing over here, and then you do, your life is different over here. Says it's a cancer, but that cancer has spread. It spread rapidly back then, and it's spreading rapidly now, because it's not anything that people do on purpose. They don't sit out and say, I'm going to start being a heretic. Their heresy comes from not seeing the mystery of God completely. And so we have a weed whacker going on.
Yes. It says their word, it will increase the godliness implying that.
All right, that's all there is.
Just like cancer.
It's just like all there is now. So they have to do things themselves. It's what Hosea called being a whore. Being a whoremongering, being committing fornication under every green tree. Because you go somewhere else other than the Father for your needs. But back to this separate. Remember, that's what the word Pharisee means. And it happened relatively quickly in the church. And it happened quickly because people wanted time. Time to do this or time to do that. And because they desired to have time for activities, then this day of Christ is delayed. Now, it may be delayed for our sake. He's not willing that any of his true believers should perish. But I promise you, you'll be perish if you live by time. If you don't think that it's finished today. Again, when we have these things like the rapture and all these things, they have these charts of what the Book of Revelation says. If you have the understanding of the mystery as a small as an ant, you would see the fallacy of that. And make up stuff. I've been reading a whole lot of books lately on Revelation. And it just makes me nuts. If you want to see something foolish, read this. Who was the Baptist Pope here in Dallas for so long?
Robert Jeffress.
Criswell. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book on Revelation that I just finished. And it, you know, he's a nice guy, and but it's just, it's all saying what's going to happen in the future, that then the mystery will be finished. Christ has to come back and set up his temple. And then the Antichrist has to get there and be in the temple for 3.5 years. And then he's going to surprise everybody by stopping all of the circus sacrifices. I mean, he doesn't understand that all that has already passed. So now the gospel has become not that the time is now, but it's become this, how to improve your life. It's become mixed totally with politics. And it's just mixing with the world system in any way. If you listen to the people that we investigate, that's all it is. It's Jesus is talking to them about every 5 minutes, and he's telling them that if these people will just give $58, God's going to bless them. But that, forgetting all that, we have to be here. We have to be now. All right, we're going to continue looking at stuff here. Let's go to Romans 8. Verse 14. No, excuse me. Let's start in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, or a placing of the Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. We've talked about what faith really is, and faith is waiting on for God for everything. And that waiting is not in our nature. We can say that God is in us, that Christ is in us. We can even say all kinds of stuff. But what you say has nothing to, it has to conform with your life. It can't be these two things. There can't be this stuff you do in Bible study and stuff you do in the world. It's got to come together. Amen? All right, let's go to Philippians. I should have written these things down in order. Ronnie would be having a heart attack. Hmm?
Philippians what?
That's what I'm looking for. Philippians. Or it's 2 in Philippians. That's what got me confused. Go to Philippians 1. Could I have made a mistake?
Not you.
Not me. Oh, I was looking at 1:19. It is Philippians 1. Start in verse 27. Let's go to 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, nevertheless, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy in the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. What's the conflict? The conflict is that he wanted to die. He wanted to go away.
Oh yeah, so we said he just talked about that.
Right.
A few verses before that we would have the same that we saw in him.
But we, again, what's the implication is here? Is that we not only have we've been given him, Jesus given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Yeah.
I promise you, nobody's mind can understand that. We do, all of us, we do everything to avoid suffering. And we're incredibly rich compared to the believers in other places. I just want you to consider what it must be like for there's a community in Iraq that 60 Minutes did a piece about, and it's been there since in the second century after Christ. During the second century, an evangelist, not known by me anyway, started this community. And there was like, there was only like 300 or 400. It was a whole community, but it was against a mountain, and then it was protected, and so that it was very difficult to get to that, and it was easy if somebody was trying to get to that to throw rocks at them or something. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know if it's ISIS or Al Qaeda or whatever it is, but they've stopped any possibility of them getting food or water or anything. I mean, there's some water there because there's a spring, but and so the children are starving to death, and it looks like it. We're going through everything that they did in Lamentations when the temple was destroyed. And it just broke my heart.
Yeah.
And to think that how rich we are. And how, from a spiritual standpoint, how fortunate they are. That community has stood faithful for almost 2,000. Almost 2,000 years. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And in the story, one of the guys said it was given to us to suffer for Christ.
Wow.
To be a partaker of his suffering. And there's kinds of things are going on all over the place. There's small Christian communities that are being wiped out.
Yeah.
In Syria. In the countries in Africa that Boko Haram. They just killed everybody in a small Christian community. Can we believe that they are fortunate? I don't want to be a masochist, but I understand suffering. All right, that's enough for that one. Let's go to 2 Peter.
Started a funding campaign to help them, and they just had a kind of miracle happen in their family. His son was reunited with his daughter Katrina. They hadn't talked for years, and they're all going to come over to eat Christmas dinner together. And even Katrina hadn't talked to him she was mad, and she hadn't talked to him for a couple months, maybe less. But anyway. That's what we talked about, is that suffering is key, and it's something we all go through. That is part of our life as believers, and that we're filling up the affliction as life in Christ. So, anyway.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let me mention something. Be careful when you get out of that chair, because that peg down below.
Yeah, it looks like there.
That's the one that.
You don't need this stuff.
John always fixes.
I know he's not here to fix it.
Yeah.
But do be careful when you get up.
Oh, we don't have time to do that one. But this is, don't think it's strange. Have a problem. Don't think it's strange to have pain. Don't think it's strange to be broke. Don't think it's strange to do anything. And we'll summarize that by what the elders had a meeting we talked about, but don't try to go to the glory without the suffering. Don't. This is, our minds can do this tricky thing, and that's its purpose, is trying to get the glory without suffering. And it's, they don't work out their own salvation in fear and trembling, because they believe they're already in the glory position. And Jesus in his humility isn't going to mess with them. Now, it's all of us want it. We want the glory. I want to live in the Shekinah glory. Nothing else. You can't get there from here without suffering and your death. There can't be glory without you being dead. Because your mind will always opt for the way of no suffering. And so you can't wait on God. And all of us do it. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Not that we're fortunate to have all the resources so we don't have to suffer. I do it all the time. I mean, I give. I have this terrible pain, and I go take some pills. Well, is that? I don't know. It's a big mystery that, you know, yesterday was a bad day. I waited the way. It got worse and worse. That's why I took all the pills I could find. No, not that many. But I took two Tramadol, two, which are, I can take, that was okay to take the Tramadol and the Neurontin. But then I took hydrocodone.
And the Advil.
Whoa.
Anyhow, take it, big guy. Any thoughts?
I do have one thing about when they talked about Conor Paul and the conflict he suffered. I realized I don't know Paul. You know, we read his writings, but I don't feel like I know Paul. But as I thought about it a minute, I do know his conflict, and I took it back to for me to live as Christ and to die as Cain, and that's the continual conflict that's ever present, working out our salvation. It's a conflict because we don't want the pain, we don't want the suffering. That's where the conflict lies. Will we wait?
No, it's
That's how I saw Paul's.
Well, his conflict that we talked about there was probably included that, but his conflict was that he wanted to go be with, he wanted to die.
Right.
It's not because there was he was in any necessary pain. He wanted to die because he wanted to be the conflict that you're talking about, and I talked about this morning, is common.
Yeah.
Not waiting on whatever it is. And here's what it says, and there's a scripture in Isaiah. Let me go there. One second. Isaiah 30. I'm going to start using my new Bible. My new Bible is probably 35 years old. I get mad at this one, and then I say stuff like that.
Don't rush into it. It's only about 20 years.
Yeah, it's only been there.
25, since I got the new Bible.
You're like John.
Oh, it's looking like that's good. I looked in 29. Woe in verse, chapter 30. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadows of Egypt. In other words, We go down or back to the Egypt. We go back to the world's way for anything, but we don't ask of him or confess it because we justify it. And I'm tempted to do that all the time. So, but this is a biggie. You don't. They cover with a covering, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt.
Good ending.
Amen. Take it, big guy.